All right, everybody. Welcome to the Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio and brought to you by Bud Light. I hope everybody can hear me all right. Is my man Tank with me?
You know it. Damn, Skippy. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm still getting used to this not being able to hear yourself through the headset thing on StreamYard. So it's kind of messing with me a little bit.
Well, that's why I keep moving my microphone because I can hear you, but I can't hear myself. But I moved the mic to see the look on your face. That's what and you be like, put it back. It was like it's kind of hard to do that, and now you know why.
So everybody, we worked out a lot of the kinks from last week, and sorry for all the shit that you saw me putting those guys through. We will not be having any more episodes like that. We've got this stuff figured out, I think. And even if it doesn't get figured out, I'm just going to drink through it at this point because I'm done worrying about the technical end of things. Too much perfection on my part trying to get through, and that was where the problems existed. But we're good right now. And I'm going to start this episode by saying, just when you think you already won a losing season because the Patriots didn't make it to the playoffs, you still have to watch this fucker, Tom. Ugh. It's brutal. Brutal.
Yeah.
I don't know what's more brutal, Tank. And we got a lot to get into because that's the elephant in the room right now. It's not Buffalo. I personally didn't think Buffalo was going to win. I don't think Josh Allen had it in him yet. And he proved that last night. But the elephant in the room is Aaron Rodgers and LaFleur. Seriously, one of the worst play calls I possibly have ever seen in my entire life. Play call. His play call was to bring out the kicking team, but we'll get to the end of that. But what do you think is more prevalent of a story? Tom Brady making it to another Super Bowl or Aaron Rodgers choking on his record tying fourth conference championship loss?
Aaron Rodgers choking on his fourth conference championship loss because he had on those second and third down, dude, they was running man under. And I know, and I'm talking foreign language to everybody, but man under is what they do to quarterbacks that cannot run and can't move at all. So everybody's covered. So you're back to holding the ball. But if you sift through the line like he did twice, you're 10 yards before anybody touches you.
Right.
And you saw that open up and he threw it twice, just like jacked up instead of just running it in.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, I don't want to get ahead of time. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but just remind me of that moment, and I'll tell you what I have another story that goes with that that tells you about a defining moment, how you define your greatness as a quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, hold on a second. Let's take a moment here, do something that we don't get a chance to do on our other show. Let's see. Captain, Super Sam, Antonio, David Califoot, Zach Master, Adam Gilmore, Keenan, Lauren,
Ray,
Deb. What's up, Deb Kurtz?
Hey, Deb.
Ron,
Janine.
Janine, boy, that must suck to be you right now living down in Tampa. you guys, Mike English, appreciate you coming back.
Sack.
Good to hear you're on the mend, bro. We're all worried about you. We know you're kind of soft, so you know.
That was me.
No, I'm just teasing. Yeah. Everybody, welcome to another edition of Get Tanked Happy Hour. You're going to see a relaxed Quimby tonight. Matter of fact, I'm kicking back. My feet are up. You can't even see it right now. I just moved the mic from here all the way back to here because I'm like this right now. Get Tanked Happy Hour is brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, Stateside Vodka, MCS Construction Services, the largest residential contractor in the Philadelphia area. TheNextSip.com. Check it out. Hands-free drinking. Great for kids' birthday parties as well. The beautiful ladies at Delilah's, which will be reopening on January 25th. And of course, all of our City Fitness Philadelphia locations and across the bridge at Echelon Health and Fitness. Time to take the COVID weight off, people. Back in touch. Get back in touch. Hollis, what happened this week in sports history and what happened this week in Hollis history?
Well, today is January the 25th, 2021. It's the 25th day of the year. There's 340 of these puppies left. I'm going straight to the events. I only have a couple of events here. The first event is 1960. Wilt Chamberlain, as a rookie of the Philadelphia Warriors, he scored 58 points versus the Detroit Pistons in a victory. It was, the game was in Bethlehem, PA. I didn't even know they used to play in that. Go ahead.
Sack just pointed out to me that it's the 25th today.
So, yeah, I know.
We all know what Tank's doing after the show. And well, I'm sorry. Well, I'm out of touch, bro.
No, but they had to push it to next week. I've already checked with the powers that be because I kind of wanted to. You've been rubbing sun in my face, so I figured I'd rub some tits in yours. But they're not opening until next Monday.
and there you have the premise of Get Tanked Happy Hour.
So they will be, Delilah's will be opening next Monday, and she texted me. She's like, the good news is next week I'll be open. I'll be at my place. I was like, oh yeah, right. But what about now? What about me? Turn back on those lights. No.
yeah, baby. Yeah.
But I was getting at Wilt Chamberlain was a Philadelphia Warrior. They beat the Detroit Pistons 127-117. He scored 58 points. As a rookie. Yes. And then the other event was in 1981 down in New Orleans, Louisiana, the Superdome. The Raiders beat our Birds 27-10 in the Super Bowl 15.
Interesting side note to that.
Okay.
Who was the quarterback for the Raiders?
Jim Plunkett.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, do you know, besides Donovan McNabb and Aaron Rodgers, who the only other quarterback to lose four conference championship games is?
Jim Plunkett.
Nope.
Tom Flores?
Nope.
Oh, Ron Jaworski?
No.
Okay.
Was a Raider up until that Super Bowl year for them. Ken Stabler.
Oh, really? I never knew that. Well, you know, he's playing against Pittsburgh, remember? When they had these steel curtains and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, that's interesting.
It's not Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly won one.
They won four.
Won four of them.
Yeah, they won four of them. We're talking about the conference championship game, folks, not the Super Bowl.
Yeah. David Harris, what's up, brother?
Hey, what up, D. Harris? We got a couple of quick birthdays. We have Wayne Ferris. You know who Wayne Ferris is? 1953.
Who?
Wayne Ferris.
Is it Anna Ferris's grandfather?
No, it's the honky tonk man. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm bad. Well,
you got a good one today, bro.
1981, Alicia Keys. And 1985, Brent Celek. Today's Brent Celek's birthday. Happy birthday, Brent.
Hey, Brent.
But today's national holidays are Irish Coffee Day, Fluoride Day, and Bubble Wrap Appreciation Day. I know. Nothing I appreciate bubble wrap. Bubble wrap, baby. Yes, and I figured I'd tell everybody about after we won the 2004, when we were finally over the hump to get to the Super Bowl. This was the week that started. Everybody was putting second mortgages on their house and stuff for tickets. And it was just like, dude, it was like we hadn't even got down there. And it was like, it took me almost about 6 hours to get down from the stadium from after that game, first of all. Then every club stayed open all night long. And it was just like, it was, the whole city was having a party. But the very next day, everybody was like putting in for tickets. And you see people at the bank and stuff, like putting the second mortgages on their home just to get out of Jacksonville. It was like it was one. I think it was one of the best times that I have been in this city. I have been in the city for up to that point. I have been here for 10 straight years, and I feel like that was the most joyous occasion. Besides my rookie year, when about 3,000 or 4,000 fans was out there after we beat the Cowboys on a Monday night down in Dallas, that was the most joy that I've seen out of our fans. And it was great, dude. It was just like one of those things you kind of remember forever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that was my history for today.
Excellent, man. Excellent. Mm-hmm. All right, well, you guys, we got a fully packed show, but I don't think we're going to go 2.5 hours tonight. Mm-hmm. We're going to kind of try to condense these, keep you guys in it with us for an hour and 15 minutes. As opposed to dragging on, unless we get really drunk and just start talking our own ears off. But we're going to talk about the games yesterday. We're going to talk about possibility of this Super Bowl matchup. We're going to talk about Nick Sirianni and mm-hmm. everything we don't know about him. We're going to talk a little bit about Deuce and that shitty situation. So let's get to it, man. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. I'm still baffled. The entire time I was watching Matt LaFleur having his kicking team come out on the field when you're down 8 points. All right. If history has shown something, all right, it's that if history and analytics show something, it's that you don't give the ball to fucking Tom Brady with 2 minutes to go in a game on the line.
Point blank.
Seriously.
When he did it, I thought that they were getting ready to do a fake field goal. I was like, I'm looking at the time, and the only thing that I could equate it to was, I don't know if you remember when we was playing against the Patriots Super Bowl and how our offense was going, and Bill Belichick just looked up at the scoreboard and was like, are we ahead? Are they ahead? I can't tell. And I think everybody had this same, damn, is he actually doing this look? And as you saw the guys coming to the sideline, you could see the confidence in which they were losing in their head coach.
Yeah. No. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you can see when you do that, it's just like and I don't know if you've seen any of the interviews that Aaron Rodgers has done since then, but he said as the game was going over, he said he was worried about the uncertainty of everybody's future that was on that current roster, because I've heard a bunch of people say this, and I've heard Dan Marino tell his story about getting to the Super Bowl or even to the playoffs to that magnitude. Again, you talk about you're young, you'll be back here. Sometimes you never make it back to that point. Do you realize Dan Marino went to the Super Bowl his rookie year and didn't go back after that?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like
you never know when this shit is going to be over for you.
And well, not only that, you never know when you're going to get back to that point.
Sorry.
Were you taking a selfie?
Yeah.
You showed up an onion.
That's the worst part about being on cam. You can't get away with anything else as you normally do on radio.
Yeah.
So here's the all right. Now let's talk about history. All right. Mm-hmm. 2007, Monday night game, Eagles Patriots up in New England. We're winning that game with AJ Feely as your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Westbrook is picking up at least 4 yards every time he touches the fucking ball.
Mm-hmm.
And what does Fat Andy do when they're on the 30-yard line? Huh? With 2 minutes and 6 seconds to go, goes for it deep in the end zone. It's intercepted. Yeah.
Mm.
Intercepted. And we were ahead. Now, I like the aggressiveness, but what are you doing? Giving the ball back to Brady with 2 minutes to go. Why would you even want to give him clock time?
Right.
You don't. Now, one way or the other, they were going to give the ball back to Brady with 2 minutes to go. But if you kick the field goal, you kick the field goal, you're still down a touchdown. All right. And you're kicking off. So if at the very least, barring an excellent special teams play, they're going to be starting at the 25.
Right.
you're already giving up field position.
Yeah. And not only
if
that,
you don't make it, if you don't make it on fourth down, they're at the 7 yard line.
Exactly.
And if you know, if you're not prepared, defense plays a little tougher when they can see that end zone right behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Always, you guys get. I know the expression, hungry. So
starts elevating. I only got two safeties. I got two safeties in my career, and both of them came the last year I played.
Really?
With the Carolina Panthers. They made a mistake and ran Clinton Portis on a play, and I destroyed him in the backfield. Nice. And then the other one was against the Buffalo Bills. I can't think of their running back name, but they tried to run up the middle, and I destroyed him. Yeah. You see, it's a picture. It's actually a picture on my Facebook page where it says time for some action, where I'm doing like this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but I got pink tape on my wrist and feet because it was breast cancer awareness month.
David Califoot, we don't talk about that station on this show. Here everybody is a VIP, not a WIP. So here we go. Ready for this? Did you? I've gone through all the Packers websites to get some of their take on this. First of all, you know what Matt LaFleur's first response to this is?
What's that?
It just didn't work out.
Oh.
Right? It just didn't work out. Now, let's be honest. We wouldn't have had to be in this situation if what we're finding out now, regular season Rodgers, there was nobody on the strong side of the field except one defender, and he was behind the receiver when Rodgers could have run 8 yards to get in that end zone.
If Aaron
Rodgers can't run that ball and get in the end zone, you know, he's tightening up. He tightens up on these games. And you would have never had that fourth down situation if he just tucked and run. And he wouldn't have been touched. He wouldn't have been touched.
You froze.
Uh-oh.
There you go.
Am I back?
There you're back. You're back now.
All right.
Now were you talking about
what was the last thing you heard?
That moment you was talking about when he wouldn't have been touched, and then that's when you froze up. Because I remember I told you I had something for you for that to let you know that that's your defining moment. There's one person who hadn't won a Super Bowl with that exact same thing at the Super Bowl. They were playing against the Green Bay Packers. He pulled it down and got helicopter spun. You know who that was, don't you?
No.
That was John Elway before the Broncos ever won a Super Bowl. They was playing Green Bay. You remember when he pulled it down, and it was a choice between running or throwing it into the end zone because the receiver was covered, and he had that exact same space. He ran it, and they hit him in the helicopter. That let you know he wanted that cemented his legacy because he had
been lamenting for a while on that.
Yeah, he was lamenting for a while, but but it was that's the moment. Like, and it's like sometimes guys think that they're going to have another opportunity to get back to their point, and you never do. It's one of those moments you regret.
It's the old adage. You know, you're not playing to win. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you found out, and interesting, while you know you're not listening to a lot of Tom Brady coverage that you don't have to, or more than you don't have to during the regular season, because I don't know about you, but when they start sucking his chode, I pretty much turn the channel. But Super Sam leaves it on. That's like pornography for her. But Bruce Arians just saying, "Yeah, Tom, go out, call whatever you want." And what Tom does, and it's what Belichick instilled in him, is that you're always playing to win. That pitch.
Mm-hmm.
On third down last night,
yep,
with 20 seconds or 18 seconds or whatever it was. I mean, you got to have fucking stones to do that, man. Big ass balls.
And you have to be confident in the guys around you. Even if it doesn't work, you tried it. You didn't go for the bull crap. You was playing to win. And a lot of times you see coaches that are not playing to win, or they're playing to so much win that they're not realizing that they already have, the game in bag in hand, and just call it dumb plays. It's like I don't know, man. It's like it's hindsight, because we have the opportunity to think about these things and see it happen in slow motion and then in real time. But even in real time, I don't think nobody can be that damn dumb. I'm sorry.
It's true, man. It's true. So, all right, here's some more notes on this.
Okay.
Another thing where you wouldn't have had to worry about it, they abandoned the run on that series, and they're running the ball down their throat,
big time. And they kept switching up the running backs instead of keeping number 30 was killing them. Number 30 and number 28 was killing the Buccaneers, but they kept putting the other young guy in there who kept giving up the ball, who kept fumbling and stuff. And I hate when coaches do that. They fall in love with a certain player and they continue to give them chances, even when it means the team. It's like,
I think this, man, I think good teams run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think great teams run the ball when other teams get nervous and feel like passing,
mm-hmm.
especially when you have the possession inside the 10.
Yeah. And I don't know why. Put it this way. Every time you get inside the 20s in the red zone, most of the time the defense is going to play, so you can't throw the pass. So it's best for you to try to run. And then when you do run, quick call them bitch run plays or cute run plays. Call the ones that got you down there, the smash mouth ones.
Right, smash mouth.
Yeah, the big dogs don't want none of that. If you double team it and tag team it and get up to the linebacker, dude, don't nobody want to see that shit. We want you. They want you to pass.
Yep.
It's like you. The offensive line loves to run the ball. That's what they love to do. As I don't know if I've ever told you about that.
It also saves their legs.
Yeah. And it's like they have to absorb a guy running at them and trying to – they have to absorb all that punishment with another 300-pounder running from 3 or 4 yards deep to, you know, to hit them, to knock them back. And then they have to stay with us athletically.
Yeah.
So
– makes no sense.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? Yep, Tom Brady always plays to win. No, actually, Tom Brady plays to stuff it down your throat.
Mm-hmm.
I think he loves nothing more than going like this.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Well, not only that, it's like I think he's a sore loser too, because he rarely shakes somebody's hand after he gets his ass kicked.
We got some good quotes here off of some Packers websites. Aaron Rodgers said he even thought they were going to have four downs. LaFleur gave him the call for third down. He said, you go out and do what you think is going to work. But Rodgers in the post-game interview even said, I thought we were going to have four downs. If we didn't have four downs, I might have called a different play. Crossing routes, something along those lines. Matt LaFleur. But it was just the circumstances of having three shots and coming away with no yards and knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you need the 2-point conversion. I'm like, what?
What the hell
is wrong with you?
That doesn't even make any fucking sense. If you pin them down that deep, make them go three and out like you were planning to, they got to punt and they have to punt under duress and you still get half the field. You don't end up in your own territory. And then you don't end up trying to play hell bent for leather type of crap. And you give your defense an opportunity to go out there and earn their keep. Point blank. If you see the shit to get off the pot right here. This is our season. Three and out. Nothing more, nothing less. And you didn't even do that. You kicked the field goal. And then they're going to get on the 25 now. And that's, I don't care who you are. When you start on the 25, it's a lot easier than starting on the 8 or 9. Because you're scared of out routes, and you're scared of all this other and flare routes. So you have to.
Ready for this?
Yeah.
It gets better. Did you hear what Shaquille Barrett said?
What'd he say?
Linebacker for the Bucks. Mm. Hey, I couldn't believe it, honestly.
Mm.
Because there's no guarantee that they're going to make it back down there again, even if they was on fourth down. They might as well try. But I know if he could take it back, he probably wouldn't do that the next time. But I appreciate it.
Yep. It's, man, because I think that moment in time, I paused to because I was sitting on the couch and I was two bottles of wine in, and I'm like, is this getting to me like that? I'm like, what the hell is that? So
let me see if I can find that.
When you look at that game, and Chris Sack just brought something to my attention. The Kevin Keene kid was getting used and abused the entire game, and he's the one who he gave up the touchdown before the you got something? Go ahead, you got it, give it to me.
I heard
it was,
I just get laid.
I know that was Quagmire.
Sorry, guys. That was a clip off of YouTube. Let's do this, man. Let's take our first break.
Cool. I got to get a bottle of wine out of the refrigerator. Give me another Bud Light and take a whiz.
Do me a favor. Call me as soon as we go to break.
Okay.
All right, everybody. We'll be back. Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio and brought to you by Bud Light right after this. All right, everybody. Green Legion Radio, Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by Bud Light. Wonder how that sounded there, Tank. Was that a good segue out or no? Was that terrible? I was trying something different.
It was all right. It was all right.
It was kind of a little choppy,
but not really.
A little choppy. I got you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Then I know not to do that again. So, everybody, do we have any questions about the game, comments? I'm going to try, when we're coming out of break, to answer everything we can for you guys. Remember, this is the Get Tanked Happy Hour. This is when Hollis and I are trying to chat more with you guys when we can't do it for the show on Wednesdays. And you know, we want your input, man. We want you guys as much a part of the show as we are. And if anybody has anything they want to ask or talk about when it comes to Adam Gilmore, yeah, fuck Tom Brady. I think we covered that game pretty heavily, but and Tom was trying to give that game back to him.
Oh yeah, the three picks. Three, oh my picks? God, yeah.
In three consecutive series.
Yeah,
how did that happen?
Yeah, he threw seven passes and three of them were intercepted.
Yeah, crazy.
Crazy. It was like he was trying his damnedest to give it back to him, but his defense was.
I think he was doing this. Come on. Come on.
To make, yeah, I was like, yeah. Man. And then Aaron Rodgers just couldn't get it done. Oh, there you go.
All right, well, let's now we're going to talk about the Kansas City Buffalo game next. I know that's not on my run sheet as next, Tank, but let's go to that first. Okay. Yeah, exactly, Adam Gilmore. If you told me he was going to play that horrible in the second half, I would have said pack by 14. That was really kind of crazy. But I don't know if you guys saw this. When Josh Allen was anointed the Cinderella story of the 2020 football season going into the 2021 playoffs, I still wasn't buying it. And it's because last year in the playoffs, he looked like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah, he did nut up.
And during the Indy game, he looked like a deer in the headlights. And in the Ravens game, he looked like a deer in the headlights. And if you guys didn't notice last night, he looked like more of a deer in the headlights than both games prior combined. When you're sailing passes over your receivers like he was doing, open receivers, that's he's not throwing up his back foot. Right. That's just nervous energy.
Well, you know that the playoffs, everything is cranked up.
It is.
And it's
everything's
like
amped up.
And then a lot of people don't realize the difference between playoffs and regular season games, because mainly because they think that if he could do it in regular season, you can't do it. You can do it in a postseason, but you have to realize is either win or go home. You don't get another opportunity, so you go get everybody's best foot. You'll get everything, because not only is this your last game, or it could be your last game, it is It's for a lot of money, a lot of cheese, a lot of lap dances can be bought with that extra money.
Yeah, I get it. That's a whole year worth of lap dances, baby.
It's actually if you make it all the way to the Super Bowl, it's $140,000 in your pocket.
Really?
Yes.
That might not be enough for lap dances for you for a year, but
yeah, you know.
Lauren Stewart, thank you for getting my joke. I appreciate that. Mike Davis, KC by 10 or more. We're going to get to that soon, brother. Stay around for that because that's going to be a great conversation. Last time we had a guy named Nick run things, we did pretty well. Agreed. Aaron Rodgers, David Harris. Aaron Rodgers should have ran. Exactly, Aaron. David. Yep. That was almost as much of a mistake as them not going for it on fourth down.
It was just as much a mistake because if anybody, you're right.
They wouldn't have even had to play or had to worry about it if he had just ran the ball.
Yeah, because it don't matter which quarterback you are, even the quarterbacks that can't run in the red zone, if you give them that coverage, they are pulling it down and running. It's point blank. It's called man under. Nope, everybody's back except for the D lineman is turned to you. If you can't hobble your ass into the end zone 4 or 5 yards, then you do not need to be on the football field, period.
Drew Bledsoe could have ran that ball in.
Exactly. I've seen Lesser run into the end zone. He'd be like, damn, I didn't even know he could run.
Yeah, you're getting a little close there, baby. That's okay.
Sorry about that. There you go. Is that better?
No, you're still too close. But put that microphone in front of you.
Is that better?
Yeah, that sounds a little bit better. You don't have to reach up. I'm almost a foot away from it right now.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where we want to be. That's our and there he goes, everybody. Getting tagged happy hour.
Yes, there's some Pinot Grigio.
We're going to be fixing Tank's video setup here this week when he goes out and buys a new webcam so he doesn't have to worry about you guys not being able to see his pretty face while the microphone is in front of it.
Damn, Skippy. Pops is watching. Pops is supposed to be helping me with this shit.
Pops, let's go, man. What the hell? Tank, how far away is that microphone from your face?
About 7 inches.
All right, make it about a foot.
Is that better?
And lower. No, move the mic.
Oh, you... Is that better?
You just moved it down. You didn't move it up.
Okay.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Right here?
You had it. No, put it back where it was.
Right here?
In front of you. There you go.
Okay, cool.
Now you're talking into it, and now you're comfortable.
Oh, cool. I'm comfortable.
All right. These are new mics, everybody. They're really kind of sensitive bitches, actually. And like I said, Tank, actually, you could lower it a little bit more. That way people can see your face. Make sure that logo is facing right to you.
Oh, yeah, it's still facing me.
All right, then you're good.
Awesome.
Melissa Hadfield, I thought it was 6 to 8 inches. Love you. So back to Josh Allen. Didn't look like he was precise against anyone in the playoffs and sailing a lot of passes. Es no bueno, mi amigo. Es no bueno.
No bueno.
If anybody knows what that means right now. Mi español es not so terrible down here right now. The most potent offense in the league was barely able to manage an average of 22 points a game during this playoff run. And that's with Josh Allen at the helm. So you got to consider something in that. And the only formidable defense he went up against in those three games was the Baltimore Ravens.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and then the defense still scored on that. They own defense scored on that one, and it was like, is that better?
Yeah, man, put it in front of you. That's now. How close are you to it?
6 inches.
All right, I don't know how many times I have to tell you a foot.
Okay, that's a foot. Is that better?
Right, it sounds better. Yeah, you don't sound distorted when you.
Okay, cool. That's cool then.
That's what we're looking for. Okay, now you can always move the mic.
Okay. Right?
Instead of your body, because what you're going to do is you're going to go like this, and then you're going to drift back in.
I'm going to drift back in just so I can see people.
Just like you just did right there.
So you need to move that seat back. Is that like that? Is that better?
That's it. That's where you want to be. There you go.
Cool. Now, what I was saying about Josh Allen was the defense helped him out a lot, and they got him through that one game, and they even scored in the Ravens game. And I just don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to him. It's just I don't.
Well, I think you know there's shades of playoff history here. You know, You got that game at 16-14 last year, and he winds up blowing it, and it, you know, I think it's in his head, and I don't think. I mean, if you watch him, you look at his body language, you look at his face. You know that language better than anybody, man.
Yeah, look,
doesn't look like confident at all.
Looks like a loser. And you know what else? This probably is giving him out, but they didn't run the ball as much as they did before the one kid went down. I can't think of the kid's name. But they only had Singletary. They were saying that the other he was just like they were just like interchangeable. But when you don't have that 1-2 punch, just like you said, it kind of stunts your confidence. And I think his confidence was stunted because if you look at like the last few games, they was airing the ball out, and that's not your team. You run the ball and then you play action fake people, and then you get your quarterback can make plays out of nothing to keep the chains moving. And they just got away from doing that.
Jay Vagnetti in the house. I am buying you all a fucking ruler.
Thanks, Jay.
David Harris, we're going to talk about what I'd like to see in this Super Bowl very shortly. Very shortly. Keenan, uno más cerveza, por favor? Amigo. No, no. Dos más cerveza, por favor. Dos más, tres más cerveza, por favor. Come on, man. Don't just ask for one when you can get a six-pack down here for the cost of one beer at a bar in Philadelphia.
Big time. You have to put it on ice, though.
That is the one thing, all right? Yeah, because of the weather down here, your beer becomes piss warm in a matter of
seconds.
Well, yeah, ready? All right, and it's warm.
Yep. You take
and it's warm.
You take that first sip out of it because that's the only time it's going to be that cold.
Yeah. No, you're right. Hold on. It's Stewie as a Mets fan. I got this. Come on. And here we go.
So far, Halloween's a bigger letdown than being a Mets fan.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
I knew I could get that one out quick. I think you're going to see a progression for Josh Allen. The fact that they won a playoff game this year and they actually won two, that it's almost like a Donovan McNabb progression, but he's got to look really comfortable from Jump Street, and I don't think he looks like it right now, man. I mean, do you agree or disagree with me on that?
I totally agree with you. The first game, I felt like he looked more confident than the second game. The second game, it seemed like they had drubbed up some old demons. And then that third playoff game, it's like, oh, shit. We still playing. Oh, shit. Damn.
Yeah.
This team is better than the last team. And that was the guy you're supposed to be going against. Buffalo Bills traded that pick to the Kansas City Chiefs so they could get Patrick Mahomes. The next year, you got drafted. This is the guy you're supposed to be, the Highlander. You're supposed to take his head.
I like Josh Allen, but I don't like anybody, to be honest with you. But if I'm gonna like somebody, I'm gonna like Josh Allen. I hope he gets his shit together. But I think you're gonna see. I think you're gonna see another NFC or AFC conference playoff game loss before he really exercises his demons, if he ever does.
Yeah,
a lot of times you find, the guys that have the brass in their balls are going to show it right away.
Yeah, and then it's like sometimes maybe he doesn't have that cold as ice mentality, especially when it's nut cutting time, and he's going to have to be you can't win because of him. You're going to have to win in spite of him, but he's still going to have to be there. Put it that way, where everybody still feels comfortable, but you don't ask him to do as much. You don't ask him to put the weight of the
what don't you do?
You don't ask him to put the weight of the Bills on his shoulder, and they do it as an offensive team where they have running and passing. Because I think this past game they rushed the ball twice and threw it seven times in like the first couple of drives. And it's like, what are y'all doing?
I think them losing, oh God, what's his name? Woods? Who's their other running back?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's the guy I was talking about. I can't think of his name.
Woods, right?
Is it Woods or Moody?
I don't know. Everybody, who was Buffalo's second running back this year? You lose him, you lose a lot of pass catches out of the backfield.
But not only that, you lose the guy who's a downhiller who softens everybody up for Singleton, for Singletary.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm looking it up.
You looking it up now?
Yeah. Guys, we're having fun here tonight.
Moss.
Yeah. How can I think of that? Thank you.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks, Lauren. Appreciate that. What does the closed caption say when Hollis asks someone? Hey, don't you mean this?
AX. Ask.
All right, man. We're gonna get him straight. We're gonna get the hood out of him before the end of this thing, bro.
The hood never goes anywhere, but I just have to when and when not to use it.
All right. Yeah, let's do this. Let's take another break.
Okay.
Yeah. Call me again real quick when you get off. And you guys get Tank to Happy Hour with Tank and Quimby, powered by Green Legion Radio and brought to you by Bud Light. We're having fun tonight, man. We got plenty of shit to talk about still. We're going to talk about Kansas City versus Tampa on the next out of the next break. And then we're going to talk about a new head coach in town, a new sheriff, and we're going to talk about the Deuce Daly situation. So we appreciate you being here with us on the Get Tanked Happy Hour. We'll be back right after this. All right, everybody. Green Legion Radio, the Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by or sponsored by Bud Light. There's so many powered by and sponsored by. I'm still getting used to that shit.
Yep.
Everybody, we appreciate you joining us here coming into the top of the hour. Tank and I are breaking down games from the weekend. We're going to talk a little bit more about the upcoming Super Bowl and what the experts are saying or what the sharps are saying right now. So much speculation, but the one thing that we want to get into, and we still haven't talked about the Chiefs. We've talked about the downfall of Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills and their loss this season, even though, you know, they're progressing. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't, I guess at the end of the year, you know, if he didn't win the last game, it's still a losing season, but they're progressing and they're looking better. And I think they're going to continue to grow. Patrick Mahomes didn't look like he missed a beat. Right?
Yeah, he looked great. I mean, I didn't expect anything left. You know who's an unsung hero? Tyreek Hill. Oh my God.
He gave them seven or he gave him six.
Yeah. Did you see the slant route he caught? Oh my God. Yeah, and it's like he was moving so fast. But the thing that impressed me about that play the most was guess who caught him?
No, I didn't I don't remember.
So the guy he left on the route. And the guy he left, Michael Hyde, who was covering him, that's who called him at the end. And that's what you love to see as a defender when somebody still has that hustle and he never stopped. Even though it was all the way downfield, it's like you kind of like to see the hustle. But I was like, wow, that's like
Juice Man. What's up, Chuck?
What's up, Juice? So actually, he left him first, and then he caught back up with him. That's what you just got to have that type of determination.
Yeah, yeah, that's a DK Metcalf determination, even though he's not on offense.
Yeah, no,
or not on defense, rather.
Right.
So here's the other elephant in the room, man, and this is what bothers me the most. Aaron Rodgers gave Tom Brady and the Buccaneers a home Super Bowl. It's as if you're feeding this jerk off another Lombardi trophy surrounded by cheesecake, cocaine, and Colombian prostitutes.
Oh, where did cheesecake come in from?
I just kind of threw something sweet in something else sweet in there.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, come on. It's like he was giving you the game back in the second half. I mean, clearly he threw the three picks, and it's just like you couldn't capitalize on hardly any of them.
Now, Adam Gilmore just brings up an excellent topic, and I'm going to talk. David Harris, you kind of brought this up a little bit before as well. We're going to talk about the game itself and what we speculate, what we think can take place. But let's talk about that which we already know. If you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, this game sickens you almost as much as a Patriots-Giants Super Bowl. I remember when people were asking me what I wanted to see during a Patriots and Giants Super Bowl twice. And both responses were a plane crash. Because
not a root canal?
Who do you want to win the game? A plane crash.
Well, that still doesn't say who you want to win the game.
Who do I want to win the game? Nobody. Somebody said it earlier. So they want to see a fucking tie. Who was it? Who was it? Somebody said it earlier. So, and Adam Gilmore brings this up, having to watch Brady versus a slob.
Are you talking about, well, maybe he can exercise the demons this time.
I don't know.
I was trying to find, watching these games yesterday because my birds wasn't in it. It was like I didn't have the same intensity that I normally have.
I was starting to notice that I heard Fat Andy is starting to avoid things that make him look fat.
No, he's not.
Well, mirrors, scales, photographs.
Red, the color red.
Horizontal striped shirts.
He's still wearing his Tommy Bahamas.
Super Sam, it's fine. I'm fine. Brady with a home Super Bowl. I'm fine. It's all going to be fine. I can hear her voice right now.
I know.
I am so happy that she is pained by this. I love her emotion. I really do.
I just didn't need to see this shit. Point blank. I was like, when the Saints lost to him, I was like, you got to be shitting me.
Yep. So the elephant in the room is we have to put up with this. What do we know? Well, we know the Chiefs are 3.5-point favors, and the over-under is 56.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Davis says Kansas City by 10. I see other people saying 70 points are going to be scored. That's the obvious, right? And just because of that number, it scares me. Although, I already bet $2,000 on the over. So
sorry, it's going to be the under.
I took it at 55 and got it at its start point because, unless somebody gets in a plane crash between now and Super Bowl Sunday, I kind of think that line can only go up. So if you guys are interested in an over bet on this game, I would take it now. I would take it at 56.
Yeah, because anything higher, I can't see because I feel like Ty Bowles is going to have a little something for the defensively. I feel like he's going to have something for Andy Dim this time, even though it's certain people on Kansas City roster that you just can't check. I'm sorry.
It's interesting because Kansas City played a formidable defense in Buffalo yesterday, and I don't know. They kind of look like they could have shred them even more if they really wanted to.
Yeah, and then you saw the part that cracked me up was at the end when Buffalo was starting to try to get tough. I was like, where was this at 38 points ago? Where was this toughness 38 points ago? Oh, now you mad, huh? In the first, the other 38 points, it didn't matter to you. It's like, come on, man. Put your tough ass on in the locker room.
David Harris, Andy Reid looks like the Kool-Aid man.
Oh, yeah. Don't say Kool-Aid no more because the fucking Kool-Aid man is going to come through the wall again.
Oh no! Oh no! Oh yeah! Yeah. Sorry. All right. Who wins the game? I don't know. I could care less. But 3.5 is an interesting line. Honestly,
it is. It's an interesting line. I think they're doing that just because it's in Tampa Bay. The last time they lost was at home was against Kansas City. And so it's gonna be an interesting game, I think. But I more or less think that if it's one of those things where I feel like they may have something to prove, especially the Chiefs. They still feel like they got something to prove.
There you go, baby.
That's where I want it. It seems like Kansas City got something to prove, though.
You know, that's interesting because it's one of the most talented offenses coached by one of the biggest assholes on the planet who couldn't win a thing and apparently until a year ago. But the NFL announced that they were going to make available 22,000 seats.
Right.
Correct. 7,500 of those seats are going to vaccinated healthcare workers.
Yes.
Which, honestly, kudos to you guys at the NFL. Yeah. That's good shit, man. I think everybody here kind of appreciates. Well, not kind of. It's a definite appreciation.
Yeah.
So I don't know if those 7,500 healthcare workers are local. I would assume that a city the size of Tampa and the surrounding beach areas, you know, South Florida, even though it's the left coast, I'm sure there's 7,500 healthcare workers in that area. But if you take 7,500 healthcare workers away from a city that size, there's not going to be anybody working healthcare that day.
Well, I think they're going to get them from all over.
So if that's the case, which I believe is what they're doing, well, all right, now you just diminished a third of your home field advantage for the Buccaneers.
Well, the Chiefs are supposed to be the home team anyway. They got the best record.
Doesn't matter, but there we go. I'm going to keep you there. Lower the mic just a little bit so you can see your lips.
And there you go.
Oh,
cool.
Now stay right over top of that thing and you're good to go.
Okay. Yeah, that's what she says. Stay right over top of her.
Right over top. I don't even know. Did you hear? Does anybody know? Are the tickets going to be made available to the public? Or are they made available to the teams? I would imagine each team gets 2,000 tickets to the Super Bowl.
Possibly.
Right? I know that's what that number is.
Okay.
At face value,
right?
The team usually buys that. Buys them and gives them to players, friends and family. Actually, what do you get four as a player? You get four,
six,
right? Six.
You get to purchase six, but they give you two.
Okay, so you could have a total of eight.
Correct.
So what we need to do is create a network of players, Tank, moving forward, that are willing to sell us their six purchase tickets at twice or three times face value. And then we can make our lives selling Super Bowl tickets for the rest of it. Do you think there's going to be a home field advantage?
I don't think so. It's because, you know, a lot of the Kansas City travels well at Kansas City. There are some Kansas City people that are there in, that are there.
No, you didn't need to move it up. You didn't need to move it up. Man, we're good.
Okay.
Just move it down a little bit. Then it's underneath your nose. Kind of like, there you look. Oh, you almost had it. Keep it going. There you go. But you're turning the mic.
Is that better?
No, you turn the logo away from your face.
Is that better?
That's what we're looking for, baby.
Awesome sauce. I think it depends on how many tickets that they use as far as like the teams, and then you have to see who gets to buy those other tickets. Which fans are going to be the fastest?
Right.
So, and who has to come down there?
Healthcare worker, where do I sign up? I don't know, bro. Lauren, appreciate you coming out. I don't know if you heard this before you took off.
Thanks, Lauren.
Okay, Janine knows. And J9, are you going? They are Tampa and Central Florida healthcare workers. You had to enter a lottery. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Did you get it? They should open up to healthcare workers in KC or across the country, though. That's nice.
Yeah.
But if it was in Philadelphia, you would have a completely different motive in that state. Right? It shouldn't be open to anybody. Fuck them. It's in Philadelphia.
Yep.
David. Yeah. I don't know. Are you vaccinated yet? I'll tell you what, if somebody gives me shit about coming into a place and not being vaccinated, because I am completely and perfectly happy with not being vaccinated by any time, anywhere. I'm not getting a COVID vaccination when it's available to me. I'm telling you this right now. No interest whatsoever. But here's a question.
Okay.
This is a good one. And then we're going to take a very quick break, 3 minutes, and we're going to come back with our final segment. We're going to talk about Deuce. We're going to talk about Nick Sirianni. And I want audience participation here, you guys. Yeah. I want to know what you are doing for the Super Bowl. Do you feel like this might be the first bit of normal? And I'm tired of everybody using the word normalcy. All right. Semblance of normalcy. All right. You sound like a fucking idiot. And most of you aren't intelligent enough to actually use that phrase. You've only used it because you heard it. You couldn't come up with it on your own. All right. So just say, is this the first chance of something normal that we haven't experienced in almost a year? I kind of think it is, regardless of where you are. We will be doing and having a special Saturday pregame show. Our good friend Jay will be joining us talking about all of the sharps, spreads, prop bets, stuff to look at, over under on length of national anthem time. Really, really fun shit. All right.
Who's singing the national anthem?
I don't know. I don't care. But is this what are you doing? What are you guys going to do? Is anybody having a Super Bowl party? You plan on going out to a bar? Is it going to be normal for you? Is it going to be the first bit of normal that we've had in a little while? For me, I'll be down at the beach club. If anybody wants to join me, I have no problem getting you picked up at the airport. It won't be me. I only have a souped-up golf cart. It won't make it an hour and 15 minutes. But I'll get you. Don't worry. I'll get you. That's what I'm going to be doing. I might have a Super Bowl Sunday show as well. I might do it by myself. I wouldn't ask you to do it and take time out of your day for that, Tank. I would hope you're hanging out with friends or family. In these times, Sam Ross, Adam and a bunch. Of caution, go fuck yourself with a cactus. Adam, go.
Adam Gilmore.
Adam's the best, dude. So what are you guys doing for the Super Bowl? I want to know. We're going to talk about that. Load it up. I want to know what everybody in the room is doing for Super Bowl Sunday. Load it up. While we go to break, it's going to be a quick song.
Yep, I got to pee.
Yeah, we'll be back. Green Legion Radio, the Get Tanked Happy Hour with Tank and Quimby, brought to you by Bud Light. All right, everybody, welcome back. Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio and brought to you by Bud Light. This is going to be our final segment of the evening. Tank, my brother, I got to tell you something. And whatever you just did there, don't do it again.
Okay.
All right, now you're really close to the microphone, or I just turned up my volume. Hold on.
Did you turn up your volume?
I think I did. That was me. All right.
Sorry.
Oh, not sorry. Not sorry. Why is my camera blurry?
I don't know. Hello? Is it getting warm there?
I don't know. Hold on. Yeah, it looks like shit, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah, well. It's okay. I'm not winning any beauty contest anytime soon. So, hold on. Here we go. Let's see. And I also want to remind you of what I found in my shoe yesterday.
A lizard?
Ew. So much worse.
Oh, God.
Yeah. All right. David Califf working on Super Bowl Sunday, delivering something. All right, man. Well, keeping America running, baby. We appreciate that. I really am a fucking delight, Adam Gilmore. man, dude. David Harris enjoys the old school hip hop. R.I.P. JMJ. Adam Gilmore for Super Bowl. I stay home with the fam and cook a spread themed on the teams in the game and the site. That's interesting. All right. Because I've always, Adam, that's an interesting item you just brought up. I've always tried to theme our away tailgates with food that could be considered indigenous or local to the city where we're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the occasional person that just doesn't want to have it. Why is there no cheesesteaks? Tank, get in front of the middle of that. There you go. Why don't you move your chair instead of moving your body? Because you're going to slip anyway. Your chair, not your microphone.
It's not moving the whole table. Is that better?
No.
Damn it. Hold on.
It's supposed to be in the middle.
Is that better?
No, it's still not in the middle. Look at your video.
Okay.
Ow.
Okay. Is that better?
That is more like it. Now okay, you're talking through the microphone. That's what we're looking for.
Cool. Right.
So I literally have people that will come up and go, dude, where's the cheesesteaks?
Mm.
What the fuck are you asking for? Because what's going to happen is we're going to have it out here in fucking Indianapolis. It's going to taste like ever-loving shit. You know who makes the best cheesesteak?
Philly?
The dive Italian restaurant or Greek restaurant that's closest to your house that delivers it exactly how you like it. Outside of that, don't give me this Jim's, Gino's, Pat's. I'm sorry. What's the one
Tony down Luke? By the
Tony Luke? All right. No, the best one is the one that gets to you in 30 minutes or less.
Delicious.
Made by your favorite local place. That's delicious. What it is. I love that you do that, man. That's cool. And sometimes, you know, most people appreciate it, but you have the occasional jackass. But Adam Gilmore, still sick of Howie shit. Awesome. My God, what did you, Andrew Hurst? My God, what did you do? Skin a cheetah? I don't get that one. Family time, Super Bowl Sunday. We play football trivia. Nice. Football squares, food, chicken, corn soup, chili, wings, brisket, cheese board, egg, and Jameson. Is it the Jameson? Is that like a sweet tea? Because the Jameson I'm familiar with is spelled with an E. I'm sorry, I'm breaking your chop. Andrew Hurt, yeah, you know exactly what I found in my shoe. Mike Davis, I can't stand doing the fucking survivor pool, let alone a block pool for the Super Bowl. I'll let you guys in the theme. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate that. What was the theme food for Tampa? I don't even remember. There's no indigenous Tampa food chocolate. if we just need a go-to menu, it's beef brisket, pulled pork, and barbecue chicken.
And bacon.
Only if English is going.
Bacon.
Andrew Hurst. Chicago deep dish. Do you know how terrible that is that you just said that, Andrew? Right. Let me tell you the difference between pizza and deep dish pizza. An hour more on the delivery time.
Yep. I like the grub.
I mean, it's Tank. Yeah, mm-hmm. You've been in Chicago enough times. I mean, it's pretty good, but it's not that good.
It's not worth
it's not worth an hour and a half wait on a delivery.
It's not worth an hour and a half wait, but if you live there, you know where to get the best deep dish pizzas from, and they are delicioso.
Ron Turner, Cuban sandwiches. Ah, Janine, you're right. Let's see. We might well call the team now the Philadelphia Eagles Colts. Interesting, David Harris. Keenan, Pam and I will get wasted and cuss like hell if Brady wins. Well, have you met Super Sam? Keenan?
I know.
So, Tank.
Yes.
I left my shoes out here on the balcony or on the terrace here.
Mm-hmm.
Stairs, the other night. You're supposed to elevate them.
Ants.
Nope.
What?
Scorpion.
Oh, Andrew just said you found a scorpion in your shoe.
Yep.
I was about
to put the fucking thing on,
mm-hmm.
and I remembered, wait a second. All right. There's no way a scorpion came in here last night. Mm. Sure as shit.
Mm.
And it wasn't a tiny one, which is great. It was a big one. It was like this.
No,
the tiny ones have more lethal venom.
The big one scared the shit out of you, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Clash of the Titans, man. I ran back in the house to look for a sword.
You remember the last time that I was down there?
I don't know. I can't tell because you're not speaking in the microphone properly.
You remember the last time I was down there?
No. Move the mic or move your chair. No.
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah, no. Look, it's supposed to be in the middle
right,
of your face.
Right there. Right there.
I'll lower it just a little bit so everybody can see your pretty mug.
Okay, there you go.
Now you don't have to worry about trying to slide across.
Okay.
Look at you figuring shit out. Not on your own.
So the last time I was down there, don't leave your shoes by the pool either. I left mine by the pool, and I went to put them on, and the next thing you know, I had ants everywhere.
Everywhere.
I jumped in your pool with all my clothes on. You weren't.
The ant problem is no longer existing here, so you're good.
Okay, good. Because I left my shoes there, and I went to put them back on. I was like, hey, what's that? What's that going in my sock? Oh, God.
All right, so we're going to talk real quick. Let's get into this because we're an hour and a half into the show almost, yep. And we said we were going to go an hour and 15, but we're having a little bit of fun. We're getting drunk.
You know it.
I want to read to you the dumbest statement of all time. One of.
Go ahead.
By your Philadelphia Eagles owner, Jeffrey Lurie. I'm trying to preface this because this statement pisses me off.
To no end.
Here we go. Everybody listen to this. This is regarding Deuce Daly and an interview for the head coaching position. I think that we are very open and it's top of mind to make sure we have some of the best minority candidates in on the search. Yep. I don't even have to finish, and I already know what Tank thinks. It's very important, I think, for us, for the league, and it's top of mind. Deuce is a great representative of the Eagles and knows our values. I would expect him to be part of the search as well. First of all, why the fuck does minority even come into the equation?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I said it, brother, and yep. I know I saw your expression. The second I... First of all, you know, you're this everybody knows my political stance. I'm not a liberal. I can't stand them.
You're not. Right? Yeah.
And Jeffrey Lurie is a douchebag liberal from California. One of the worst. Mm-hmm. All right. Liberals aren't supposed to champion minorities. They're just supposed to include them in everything. And you, with that statement, just contradicted yourself in
yep.
so many ways. It's such a douchebag statement. It's an embarrassing statement to people like myself, people like Tank, who don't give a fuck what your color is. The only thing we care about is whether or not you're fucking stupid.
Yep, fucking stupid. Yep.
Fucking stupid. this I don't care what color you are. If you're stupid, you can be black, you can be white, you can be fucking red. I don't give a shit. If you're stupid, I'm not talking to you.
Yep.
Everything else is fine.
As soon as he said that statement that you, when you said it, it was like, why the fuck would I, if I'm part of the process, why am I helping you look for another coach? And this is my third time going through this shit.
And it's almost as if, I'm not paraphrasing it because it would be, I'd be diving really hard
right.
to try to make a story out of it, but it's almost as if, hey, Deuce, thanks. We appreciate you being part of the minority quota
yeah.
that we have to interview for this position.
We're just doing this so we don't get fined.
And honestly, if I was Deuce and I read that statement, I would do exactly what he did, and it's let me out of my contract.
Yep.
Let me out of my contract. Fuck you. I wouldn't have said it like that, but let me out of my contract because this is bullshit.
Yeah, because it was clear. It's like he's been through three coaches. It's clear that you – and he wasn't even in line for the offensive coordinator job. Come on. It's like at some point – You keep bringing people there, and you keep on doing this to him, and talking about he's an asset. Well, what asset is he? It's like are you just holding him because you want to hold him, you want to uphold him. Everybody respects him. Everybody loves him. It's like, but you have to give him an opportunity in order for somebody to get experience doing something. You have to give them the opportunity. Now, I don't know what the interview process was like, but if you're not truly going to give him an opportunity, then what the fuck are you wasting this time for? What are you wasting this time for?
Andrew Hirst, that's a tough statement, bro. It's not his talent, it's lack of melanin.
Well, yeah, it's and you have to look terrible. At that because nobody asked him about being nobody a minority. Nobody asked him about being a minority.
Get you straight.
I know. I told you to. So when you look at the thing, you bring in a guy who doesn't have experience, who was pretty much Frank Reich's right hand man. As you pretty much doing everything you need to do to keep one guy on the team happy, and I'm sorry, it's to keep Carson Wentz happy, because you just went and hired everybody from the Colts, and a lot of people don't realize the Colts are the Midwest Eagles because the GM used to work here under Howie, and he wasn't going anywhere, and he left. So you find a lot of people that do that. Once they figure out that it's no going up to general manager and making all the decisions, you still got this Yahoo over your head trying to point out things that are not Captain Obvious, but he thinks he knows a lot more than you do, and then he gets pissed off, and then he fires you, or you just say that you're going to go somewhere else to get a better job. I don't know how he's going to be the death of us.
Well, we already know that, and I know what you did. My video out to see if I could
reattach it.
Yeah, reattach it because apparently I don't know what I'm doing. Hi, everybody. This is cool. You didn't need of me.
This is better.
No, it's terrible.
That a cup. The color's coming through. I can tell the moonlight's out.
Oh, I'm being so romantic, bro. All right, there we are. I'm back in focus. All right, so. I hate seeing Deuce go.
Yeah,
but I wish him all the best, man.
Yeah, I like where he went with Dan Campbell. I think Dan Campbell's a really good coach. I played with Dan for 3 years, actually two and one. Yeah, three. He came to New Orleans, and then he came back to New Orleans a couple more times.
Andrew, if you get a visor, they'll interview you for
that's actually Andrew's my trainer who I go see. And so we have these talks all the time. And so he's like, you gotta have a visor if you want to be an Eagles head coach. That's the prerequisite.
Yes, David Harris. We all agree. How is he, jackass? All right, Nick Sirianni, we're gonna talk about him for just a few more minutes, maybe five.
Okay. Call it
quits. First of all, we all know with a name like Sirianni, well, South Philly's going to welcome him.
You know it.
Yeah, pretty quick. Yeah. At least in the beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning.
So what do we know about Nick Sirianni? What are the writers saying about him? Found a great article on Philly Voice talking about writers from across the country and what they're saying. Marcus Hayes says it's a good hire. Great. So we're not going to listen to that. Zach Rosenblatt from NJ.com. Mm-hmm. He was an Eagles writer turned Giants writer.
Right.
And thinks that the Sirianni hire is good news for the Giants. So imagine what you can take from that.
Yeah.
Jeremy Fowler, Dan Graziano from ESPN, both give a C and a C minus. Fowler just seems like the Eagles telegraphed this one, firing Peterson for a coach who's an extension of the Peterson tree. Trying to fix Wentz without doing it with Peterson. Sirianni is an ascending coach with good demeanor for the job, so maybe that will translate in year one. My guess is some other candidates weren't thrilled about this job. Graziano, C minus. I don't know. If he can get Wentz fixed, the hire is going to look really good. But if that's his primary responsibility, then how's he going to do with the gazillion other things a head coach has to handle?
Boom.
Interesting interesting question, right?
Yeah.
I've heard good things about Sirianni as a coach, but it feels a bit early for him to have a job like this. Now, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Aiello from the Indianapolis Star says it's a good hire. At least they like him in Indy, so that's a good sign. The article we linked to below from the Indy Star is actually the most in-depth and interesting description of what Sirianni is like and the impact he's had on the Colts. I highly recommend it, and not surprisingly, writer Jim Aiello is very high on the Eagles' decision to make him their head coach. This is his quote. As for what the Colts are losing in Sirianni as a coach, they're losing both a creative mind and one of the more well-organized and detail-oriented members of their staff. Remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that.
Yep.
I'm going to say that sentence again because there's more, but remember this. As for what the Colts are losing in Sirianni as a coach, they're losing both a creative mind and one of the more well-organized and detail-oriented members of their staff. I'm going to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Sirianni helped craft the highly successful short yardage package featuring backup quarterback Jacoby Brissett. During off seasons, Reich charged Sirianni with divvying up assignments for study with different members of the staff exploring third down situations, someone else in red zone, short yardage, etc. Dealing with players, Reich often referred to Sirianni, a former Division III wide receiver, as expert around receivers. When discussing the development of young pass catchers such as Michael Pittman, Reich raved about Sirianni's work with them. Rivers did as well. Now, I'm going to stop there. There's plenty more. There's a good hire. There's a not sure. There's a good hire by Hunter Doyle inside the Eagles. Bad hire, Chuck McDonald, USA Today. There's a radio station with a guy who's not going to get any play on this fucking show. But if you remember, right, and you, Tank, will remember this more than anybody, Jeffrey Lurie hired Andy Reid because of his organization. That was the one element that separated Andy Reid from all other coaches that interviewed for that job back in 1999.
Yeah.
All right. Man.
The way.
Hey, hold on. Look, kids. Big Ben. Parliament.
Well, the one thing that I don't know if they mentioned, and he mentioned too, that I was listening to some of the interviews and stuff. He tries to hold players accountable. He tries to coach to the player's strength to make sure that they're held accountable for their job and for their actions. And I like to hear that, but I want to see it put into motion because I felt like this team wasn't held accountable for the things that they put out on the field.
What do you think about the hire?
I'm not truly excited about the hire, but it is like I understand you're trying to give a young guy an opportunity. It's like, but don't feed us a load of crap. Don't feed us a load of crap talking about you're really taking everybody else serious if you kind of know who you want to hire.
Do you think it's giving a young guy an opportunity, or do you think it's lack of choices?
A little bit of both. Because you said it earlier in one of the things that you were reading, because it's like every time that you get a player, not a player, but a coach here, and they come and they see the situation, the unhealthy situation from top to bottom, as far as like the front office, if they have another opportunity, they're going with that other opportunity.
Yeah.
It's like Hugh Jackson took the Cleveland Browns job. Hugh Jackson, when he was supposed to interview here, he took the Cleveland Brown job before he came here, because that's how much of a shit show that they've created in our front office. And it's like, yeah, if you can't deal with Howie, at point you can't be here. That's pretty much what it is. And it's somebody who wants to be a head coach and feels like they can overcome Howie, they'll come here.
Adam Gilmore, great statement. It's vanilla in a couple different ways.
Yeah. with Jimmy's.
It's vanilla in the hiring, and it's vanilla in the skin color, baby.
Yes, it's the safe, what I would call it, it's the safe hire.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we're all just dumbfucked. I think everybody wants to feel optimistic about it, but we're not an optimistic city.
You want to get a guy a chance to come in and do some stuff, but if he comes in and fucks up, all of us are going to be like, I knew it. I knew this was a shit show at the beginning.
which is why I kind of wish that Lori would sometimes just not defy the fan voice. Because if you hire somebody like, make Deuce OC. What could you possibly do that's worse than you had the last 2 years?
Nothing.
And here's the deal. If you make that decision, you can also, if it doesn't work, throw it back in your face.
Big time. Throw it
back in my face. I would be happy. I would love you to grab the top of my hair, pull me up, and slap me across the face. Because Quimby said Deuce would be a good offensive coordinator hire. But now you leave yourself open to so much subjugation.
Not only that, you contradicted yourself.
That's the word I want to use. I could be wrong.
Possibly.
But you left yourself open to so much scrutiny.
Mm.
All right. If this pick doesn't work, well, how many more chances are you going to give Howie?
Boom. That's what I was getting to next. I was going to ask you, how many chances is Howie going to get? If this doesn't work, is he still around? Because if he is, then you truly know the relationship is truly fucked up, and it's beyond anything that any of us could ever imagine.
I'll tell you this. I don't know how much longer I can handle Howie Roseman at the helm. If these picks continue to be bad.
Yeah. If this draft right here that's coming up, you cannot fuck up the sixth pick overall, point blank. If you fuck up that, then you need to be out, taken out and monkey stomped.
Yep.
Point blank.
You can't. Alex Donahue, I am such a tan god right now. You can't even. Lighting, sir. Oh, don't worry. It's a good time to call it a day, my brother.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm going to work on getting myself another camera, and get the mic right in front of me.
Put it in front of you. Put it over to the left. Put it to the right. That way you can put that mic right in front of you, and you don't have to worry about people not being able to see that beautiful mug of yours.
Awesome sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to chew any fat?
We pretty much chewed everything that I had to talk about. I was going to talk about the offensive defense coordinators, but we could save the flavor, because I'm not too happy about the offense coordinator, because he did some things, and I hope it was a learning experience. He did some things this season as a Chargers offensive coordinator right before the half, like running the ball with no timeouts, and not getting out of bounds and not getting any points. And if they think that he's going to be the answer. Justin Herbert is one of the more accurate quarterbacks on the move, and he rarely rolls Justin Herbert out. I know this because I watched the entire league, and I like Justin Herbert coming out of college, and I was wanting to see how he was going to do it. He's done well despite the coaching, so he's one of the better guys on the move. And we got a guy that's pretty good on the move, but we'll see if he moves him.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, and it's also going to be interesting. The speculation that we're going to have with upcoming draft picks, because honestly, as much as that statistic about one Pro Bowler in the last seven drafts, I'll tell you right now, I think we need to trade down. There's just so many.
We have 10 draft picks.
I know, but the sixth pick can give you two more, two first round or a later first and another second. And there's a lot of players coming out of college this year that can help us that are going to be available in the second round. And maybe you get another first rounder out of it. Maybe a compensatory pick. I don't know. You know, at this point, we're 1 or 2 years away from erasing to chalkboard completely, bro.
Yeah, you're correct. You're correct. And so completely, including Howie.
Exactly.
Completely Howie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's do it. Let's call it a day, my brother. And I appreciate it.
It's been real.
Everybody, we will see you on Wednesday for another broadcast of Green Legion Radio. That's going to be live on Fox Sports The Gambler on Thursday.
Awesome sauce.
Yeah, and we're going to be doing things a little bit different. You're not going to see Super Sam or Slash on the video anymore. We're not. We're going to try to have a little less clutter moving forward. These guys can come in whenever they want. Super Sam will come in whenever she wants to bring up topics or talk about something that you guys have in the chat rooms. Slash will come in to let me know how much time is left or if I'm doing something completely wrong. But we're going to try to minimize the background noise, which is not the easiest thing to do when every single person is in a different location. But and for myself, I want to apologize to anybody that was annoyed by last week's show. That is my vanity at work. I'm always striving to be perfect at whatever I do. And unfortunately, I have to realize sometimes it just can't be perfect. And I also apologize to the rest of my panel for the way I acted. And I apologize to everybody else.
You had me, and I'm sorry.
You had me, I'm sorry. I love you, man. I can't believe you get down here, baby.
Yep. Yeah, I'll be down there soon.
All right. You guys, on behalf of Hollis, Tank, Thomas, and myself, Quimby, and everybody at Green Legion Radio, Michael Shut Up Diaz, Chris Sack, Master Sack Attack, Reggie. Ooh-ha. You missed it. Super Sam and Slash. We will see you. Oh, I'm sorry. And our good friends at Bud Light. We will see you on Wednesday. To my limits, girl, when I'm